Hello and welcome to the Book of Leaves podcast. My name is Cara Kearney and I am the host. Hello and welcome to Book of Leaves, a podcast where normally I interview people in Ireland or from this wonderful country who are doing something good for the planet. And the whole idea is I, the interviewer, and you, the listeners, can take a leaf out of their book to add to our own way of eco-friendly living. This podcast episode is going to be a little bit different because it is the 100th proper episode and I wanted to mark it by doing something a little bit different. And it's going to contain some suggestions from you guys, a mixture of messages and recordings, plus there's three interviews that I took with people while I was practically just out and about, and I just thought that they had some really good things to say about what we can do to make this world a bit of a better place. So before we jump in, I want to let you guys know, if you want to jump to any particular point in the podcast, just look at the show notes below and you'll be able to see the timestamp. So for any episode for what season is this now? Six? For five of the six seasons, I timestamped all the episodes. I started doing that for season two, and you'll be able to jump ahead to anything. Some people are just here for the content and don't want to listen to me chatting about what's been going on in my life, and that's okay. So you can do that for any of the episodes. And also, if there's anything that we talk about with anyone here, if there's any podcasts or books or organizations, they're all linked. And if they're not linked in the show notes, they're at least named. So if you're like me, you listen to something and you're like, oh, what was that book, or what did they say to read? Because I, by the time I get to the end of the episode, I have forgotten what they said. It's all written in the show notes so that you don't have to go back and like search through the interview to try find it. But oh my god, it's episode 100. Thank you so much for being here. And I guess I want to start this podcast with a message from my mom, because she's been very supportive of me. And to be fair, like, I actually don't think this podcast would exist if it wasn't for her. I mean, she doesn't really listen to the podcast that often, as far as I know. She has listened to a few episodes though, which I was actually kind of surprised by. Like, as far as I know, none of my family listen to this, and I still find it really weird if I meet people out and about and they're like, oh, I listen to your podcast, even though that's exactly what it's for. I just find it really strange. But I wanted to read a message from Mam. It's just very simple. She just said, congratulations, episode 100, congratulations on your centenary. And her favorite episode was Rewilding, which makes perfect sense because, to be fair, she has influenced me hugely in how I am as an activist, in the fact that I am an activist, or I'm confident enough to call myself an activist. From as young as I can remember, she was always very respectful of nature. I remember when my sister came down from Dublin, like, I have three half siblings and two of them lived in Dublin. And when they visited, they were going to climb trees in the garden. And Mom was like, now make sure you ask tree for permission to climb it. And my sister thought that was, you know, a bit whack, a bit silly. And then I kind of laughed about it when I heard it first, and now I'm like, that's actually so profound, and I'm so glad she did that. She was so just in awe of nature. She's the kind of person who'll pull over and start recording starling murmurations in the sky, and that kind of love of nature that she has definitely had an impact on me. So I just wanted to, I guess, shout out to my mom. Thank you so much. Oh my god, I'm probably going to get emotional several times during this interview. this chat with myself and you guys. I do have the recording in front of me. I'm actually recording this live into Zencaster, so the intro track, usually I do everything in edit after, I do everything in post, but this time I actually have all the audio clips lined up like a proper podcaster. Who is she? It only took me 5 years. But anyway, thank you, Mom, for instilling the love of nature in me. And yeah, love you loads. Now, I want to play a bit of a clip from a teacher who listens to this podcast. He's also been supporting it on Patreon for a few years, and I'm so appreciative of that because there's so many hidden costs to the podcast, and I want to keep it free, and I want to keep all the content I create accessible and free for everyone so that it's fair. And it really, really helps when people subscribe on Patreon. And this person is not only being really helpful to me, but is also so helpful in his school at creating programs and creating initiatives and things for people, for teenagers, to get involved with and to start reigniting that love with nature again. Because as has come up in this podcast loads of times, if we do not have a bit of education about nature and then feeling a bit of connection to it, we're not going to want to care to act for it. It's just a psychological thing. And Cody Preston is an amazing teacher who does such good work in his school. Anyway, I'm just going to play the voice note that he sent to me and give you guys a bit of an idea about how he has grown in his eco-friendly living journey.
Hi Cara, big congratulations on your 100th episode, a massive achievement. I can only imagine the amount of work that has gone into making all of those episodes happen. So big thank you from me. And I started to become more aware and concerned about climate change and issues around biodiversity loss around 5 years ago. People like Greta Thunberg, really, that was bringing these issues to the fore. And when I heard her speak, I kind of thought to myself, I can't keep ignoring this, and I do have to engage in it, and I do have to learn more and start to do something about it. And it's around that time I started to read more and to listen more, and I came across the Book of Leaves podcast. And Book of Leaves, I think, had just started around the same time. You only had a couple of episodes, and I listened to the first couple of episodes and I was just hooked straight away, because I was hearing people who were ordinary people, but they were doing extraordinary things, and they're people I could relate to. People who were just taking action in their own lives or their own communities or businesses or careers. And it gave me inspiration and, I suppose, encouragement to do something in my own life that I can affect some sort of change. I'm a teacher, and climate change and biodiversity loss, you know, still are things that don't come up as often in schools. And they come up in certain parts of subjects, but they're, you know, being sustainable still isn't part of the culture of many schools. And when you are a teacher in a school who is trying to affect change, sometimes it can be a little bit of a lonely space. And it's around that time that I came in contact with a guy called Patrick Kerwin. He's a teacher in Waterford, and he was looking for other teachers and students to set up a network. And we set up a network called the Irish School Sustainability Network. So it brings together students and teachers from all around the country who are interested and concerned around these issues. And it makes it a, you know, it gives people a platform, it gives people peers that they can talk to about it and share ideas, encouragement, and take action. And Patrick was a guest on one of your episodes. So when it comes to taking a leaf out of a book, certainly I've taken lots of leaves out of Patrick's book and been inspired by his work in his school, and, you know, trying to take that back and do something in my school as well. So I would just encourage people to listen to that episode again, and just to say again a massive thank you to you for your wonderful podcast, for all your wonderful guests. Hopefully to be another 100 episodes more to come. Thanks, Cara.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Cody. Who knows, will there be another 100 episodes? We'll have to wait and see. And absolutely, I need to thank all the guests that have been on, like Patrick, because this podcast wouldn't exist. If it was just me talking about my journey, it would have been a very limp podcast. But instead, I have had such an extraordinary experience getting to sit across or having a Zoom chat with people that, like Patrick, like Cody, are doing amazing things, extraordinary things, as Cody said, for the environment. And without them, this podcast obviously wouldn't exist. So thank you so much to all the guests who've been on this podcast. And if you do want to go back and listen to that episode, Patrick Kerwin was on episode 62. And if you are a secondary school student or a teacher, and this is something that you would like to kind of maybe tap into while you're in secondary school, definitely check out the ISSN. I've linked them in the show notes. It's Irish School Sustainability Network. Even if you're the only student in your year or your class that you think is interested in partaking in some more kind of climate action in your school environment, and there's no teachers and you feel kind of lonely, this is a really lovely network to tap into. You don't have to be a group or a whole class or necessarily have your teacher's permission. Do you know the kind of way? All you'll be doing is entering into a community of other students and secondary school teachers, which can be really needed when we live in a society with so many different suggestions, which are really crucial to hear, but some of them are not applicable to your work or your education setting. Some of them might be more for colleges where you can, there's a bit more freedom and you can set up, you know, societies and things like that, and your timetable isn't as rigid. So if you're a secondary school student, the ISSN is a really lovely place to tap into. I've done a couple of talks, little online meetings. It's very low commitment, but you're not alone. And I've met some students recently who they came to this event, and they were like, there was two kind of schools that had lots of students there. And then this one guy was like, yeah, I'm the only person from my school here. Like, I feel kind of lonely in my environment that doesn't, no one else really kind of cares the way I do. And thankfully they had access. It was an Eco UNESCO event, which are another amazing charity that work really, really well with young people and teenagers. So if you're a teenager, get involved with Plan International, with the National Youth Council of Ireland, with Eco UNESCO, the ISSN. These groups are doing amazing things for the planet. And if you're a teacher, you know where to go. And I guess sticking with recordings for a minute and the educational kind of sector, I went to the Radical Book Fair, which was hosted by Rupture Media, and I decided to bring my microphone along. And I'm very glad I did, because I went to a talk on eco-socialist justice, and I was kind of interested in the whole thing. And one of the speakers there was John Barry, and he started talking about things that he does in his workplace in a university. And I just said, you know what, I really want him to feature a little nugget of what he's saying on episode 100. So I grabbed him, pulled him into a corner, and got some advice off him. And I think you'll really enjoy this. So here is John Barry.
Yep, my name is John Barry. I'm a professor of green political economy at Queen's University, Belfast.
Amazing. And can you describe a little bit about how you incorporate building a better future, a better world, how you bring that into present day, like what you do to try manifest the future we need?
Well, for me, it's educate, agitate, organise. And I have a great job and a great privilege of being an educator. Part of my practice is informed by Paolo Ferrari, which is basically developing a class-based analysis of the world. In other words, to speak to the young people I'm teaching in a language they understand, about making their lives better. You know, to understand how crap the world is at the minute, how a better world needs to be imagined. And I think there's a very strong problem now with a failure of imagination. You know, it literally is the case that it's easier for young people to imagine the end of the world than the end of capitalism. So my teaching practice is about giving people an eco-feminist, eco-Marxist, intersectional analysis of what's wrong with the world. Then it's about creating, you know, what the vision is of the future. And then the most important thing is the strategy. How do you get from the shitty present to the clean, green, just future? And that can take a variety of issues, protesting, you know, joining political parties, electoral politics. I've done all that. But it also is about empowering young people, and particularly because they're the future workers, to be saying, well, why should democracy end at the factory door? Why can't workers have more voice and control in their workplaces? And I try and do this, just to finish, in terms of my own teaching practice, of democratizing what the students learn. So half, at least, of the modules I teach, I allow students to figure out what it is they want to do. And then I decide the other half. And in that way, they're doing research on topics that mean a lot to them. You know, and so they're more invested in it. And just even from a pragmatic point of view, they will turn up slightly hungover at 9 o'clock at a lecture if they voted for the stuff. So pragmatically, it's a great way of mobilizing and seeing that the solutions often in our communities are actually in asking our communities. I mean, even though I'm an academic and you need expert knowledge and so on, we can't be so arrogant to think that we academics know all the answers. Yeah. Why don't we ask our communities, ask our students what it is that they want us to do with them?
You said one of the things you learned about was Shane. Before that, you wouldn't have known about Shane.
No, I mean, the top issue that the students wanted to do was fast fashion, particularly in terms of the gender dynamics. And it was really interesting that Shane is a terrible company. Fast fashion accounts for, I think it's 4 or 5% of global greenhouse gas emissions. It causes tremendous pollution problems in the global south, where often these clothes are made. And there's an interesting gender dynamic, which I wasn't really fully aware of. It's mostly low-paid female garment workers in places like Bangladesh making these cheap forms of clothing that are then disposable. And it's mostly working class, low paid women in the global north who are buying it. Now, if you've got little money, you have no choice but to go to Primark and buy these cheap forms of fashion. Yeah. So you shouldn't be too guilty in terms of your individual choice. You're constrained by what's available to you. But it does really bring out the fact that we do need to have a more structural change in the clothing that we produce. In other words, we see it as a system. It's not just you as an individual buying something in Primark. You are part of a system of workers and consumers. Yeah. And that's what I like about an eco-feminist, eco-socialist perspective, because it enables to think in those systems.
That's just a lovely example of what your students kind of brought into your life from you kind of democratising education. I think it's so valuable. So if there's any academics who listen to this podcast, they could maybe take a leaf out of your book and do that in their workspace. It's probably harder for secondary school students that are very kind of strict with the curriculum and whatnot. But are there any other, for lay people like myself who might work in the arts or in a supermarket or just as a fellow human, either bottom up or top down, that people can add to make their own life a little bit more eco-friendly or make the world a better place?
Just three words: join a union. You need to join your trade union if you have one in your place of work. And once you've joined the union, then start asking questions going beyond, obviously, good paying conditions. We all want that for every worker. But then asking questions, well, why can't workers have more say in how the factory is run, the office is run, and so on? And in other words, to start in a way, it's like a muscle. You know, democratic decision-making is not just voting if you can body your arse every couple of years. It is a way of life. It's about where we collectively decide what it is we're going to do. But unfortunately, our muscles in terms of democracy have become atrophied. They become weak because, you know, voting every couple of years is not democracy. Yeah, it's an important element of it, but it is about making decisions that affect your life. And so the more you practice this, the stronger it gets. And you do get that sense of collective empowerment because in our lives today, we live in a very individualized, hyper-consumer, capitalist society where even our attention is being exploited through social media and so on. So anyone listening, don't be doing too much doom scrolling because it's not good for your mental health. But there is something around collectively coming together and having some sense of pleasure. And again, I didn't get to talk about it really in the talk I just gave, but too often the green and climate movement is not presenting pleasure, sensuality, a creative, imaginative vision of the future, but it has to also be tethered to reality. It can't simply be so utopian that you can't believe it. So I do think there's something around, you know, what can we see in the near horizon about, you know, making our lives better with the current resources. Imagine if we did have a 4-day working week, for example. You know, that is absolutely possible. And for us to start asking questions like, well, why is it every technological innovation under capitalism has led to less people working more rather than more people working less? Why is it that we can't have arts in everyday life and not just as a nice thing to happen? Art, for me, the abomination. The arts themselves do not need to justify why we pay for them or why they should be publicly funded by how many beds are sold in a hotel. The function of the arts is to be creative, to provoke, to entertain, and so on. So for me, how can we have a fusion of particularly eco-socialist feminist politics that's fun, that's liberatory, that actually is you're living the type of society in the activism you're doing in terms of the future that you want to bring into being? Because the reality is the future's already here. Mm-hmm. It's just unevenly distributed. It's already here. And if we don't take part in creating that, it'll be created for us.
I love that so much. Do you have like a platform or anything to which you ever talk from? Do you use social media yourself to express these ideas, or would people just find you at talks popping up all over the country?
Well, both. Popping up at talks, but I'm on X or Twitter, whatever the hell that Egypt has now called it, at Prof. John Barry. I have a small podcast which I'm really crap at putting out episodes called the ABCs of Green Politics. And I'm also part of the larger Left Bloc, BLOC, media platform that has a number of podcasts. And I occasionally pop up and then, particularly The Week at Work, which is a kind of a left-wing review of the papers, and also A Worker's Guide to Everything from the wonderful Trademark Belfast.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. And I look forward to listening to those podcasts as well. There you go. So that was a little bit of a chat that I had with John Barry. As I said, he'll be linked in the show notes below. And I just love what he had to say. He works with a slogan in his work of educate, agitate, organize. He, like me, knows about the power of imagination now. So as I've been harping on about the work of Rob Hopkins, if you have not read that book, From What Is to What If, definitely do that. So we're basically living in a world that was imagined by some capitalist people in the past who wanted to just exploit and make money and get rich. And imagine if that wasn't the way. Imagine the future, like John is saying, a 4-day work week, like having more people working less. It's just a no-brainer. And joining a union is a really, really good piece of advice. I'm in, as an actor, I'm in my acting union, and they've done amazing work. And obviously there was the huge SAG-AFTRA strikes that we saw in the US over the threatening work of artificial intelligence. They came together and like achieved the results they were looking for. So join a union. When I was working in a supermarket, I joined Mandate. So if anyone else is working in a supermarket, Mandate are a really good union. That is a really, really valuable leaf that I hope you will take from John's book to add to your own way of eco-friendly living. And sure, who knows, I might even have him on the podcast for a full chat, because he just had so much to share. And I had listened to one of his episodes as well, the ABCs of Green Politics, and that's such a lovely podcast to listen to as well. So you can check out all of those things. Now, before I share a few more suggestions for you to take on other leaves, I want to share some other reactions and stories to the podcast. I did receive this amazing message on Patreon from a listener called Stephen. And again, thank you, Stephen, so, so much for your support on Patreon. It means the absolute world. And if anyone would like to support there or on Buy Me a Coffee, which I think is a bit of a nicer platform, to be honest, that's my own kind of taste, you can do that. So for as little as €1, you can be a patron like Stephen. And I just want to read this message and hopefully I won't cry. So he says, hi, Cara. I wanted to let you know how I came to the podcast and also the impact it's had on me. I'm a big fan of Louise McSherry, and her show was where I first heard about you. Since then, I've gone back to your first episode and listened all the way through to the backlog. I caught up a few weeks ago, and that's when I figured it's about time I joined the Patreon. It's fair to say that your show has led to some significant changes in my life, not least of which is that I've gone from being a very big meat eater to enjoying a fully plant-based diet. Between the environmental arguments and then hearing Niamh speak about her work as a vet, I literally couldn't stomach eating meat, etc. anymore. I've also been working on letting my back garden go a bit wilder, and I'm encouraging more native plants to grow. I've also tried putting in a little bit of a pond. Not sure how good a job I did on that, but the kids like looking at it. Anyway, I wanted to reassure you that your podcast isn't falling on deaf ears. I've learned a lot from it, and I'm turning that into practical challenges and to practical changes in my life. So thank you for all the hard work you put into it. Have a good day, Stephen. Well, to tell you, when I first read that, did I cry? Oh my God, to hear of the plant-based change and the difference that the pond and the rewilding in the garden could have on nature. Like, that's amazing. So thank you so much, Stephen. And Niamh, that episode with Niamh had a huge impact on so many people. Niamh Cassidy is a vet. She was on episode 47, and basically her training as a vet, she went vegetarian and then went vegan, and her story is a really, really fascinating, and it's kind of hard to listen to, but it kind of shines a light on the practices that we have here in Ireland and I guess across the world. So that's an amazing change to make, because, you know, it's not that easy when you're ingrained in tradition to switch to a plant-based diet. Like, it can be difficult, and I'm so, so happy to hear that you've made that change as well as helping biodiversity in your garden. So you're an absolute legend, Stephen. Thank you so much. And as another Patreon member that I wanted to read a message from is Livia. Hold on, let me get this up on my phone. Livia, I also met in person, and she's so, so lovely. And she sent in a message reacting to a podcast that I had with Joanne O'Dowd. And she said, hi, Cara, love your work and can't wait for season six to start. I have a leaf I've taken to share for episode 100. After listening to Joanne O'Dowd's episode on slow fashion, I learned to repair and darn clothes. And now I'm working through fixing up all the socks that were close to being thrown out before. Well, can we just have a bit of a round of applause for Livia, please? Like, fixing and darning clothes is something that people can find so overwhelming. If you want to listen to Joanna's episode, she was on recently enough, episode 86, Joanna was on, and she's a seamstress. She makes clothes. It was really fascinating chat to learn as well about understanding the effort that goes into making clothes, and therefore if they're really, they're clothes that are for sale for really cheap, someone's missing out on something. But Livia, to hear that you are now darning socks, I have, since you have sent that message, I have been keeping all of my holy socks. I have yet to start darning, but inspired by you, I'm like, okay, no, I really do need to darn these socks. So I'm collecting, have a nice little collection. And then when I find like a secondhand darning egg or something somewhere, I'm gonna get started, because my socks just get so holy. And when it comes to those kind of creative eco habits, I'm actually a bit lazy. I just am. That's it. I knitted a headband for my No By New Year. I wanted a headband, so I knitted one with the yarn I have, and it's been sitting on the needles because I haven't cast it off, because then it means I have to sew it together. And I just, the effort of it. But again, reading stories like this that people are just doing it, people are picking up the needle and getting stuck in, is amazing. And Livia supports me on Patreon as well, so thank you so much, Livia. I really appreciate you listening. And for that change, Pat Cassidy, he's another supporter of the podcast, and he sent in a message after listening to the Bohemians episode. So just before Christmas, I interviewed Sean and Leo, who work on the climate committee of Bow's football club, Bohemians Football Club. They were in episode 97. And Pat said, I listened to the Bohemians episode and was inspired. I asked my local club if I could start up a sustainability group. We are in the process of doing this. In the meantime, I managed to secure an electric bicycle trial for the club. We are getting 15 assorted bikes, cargo bikes, etc. for the club. Isn't that brilliant? It was your podcast that spurred me into action. Just thought you'd like to know. That's crazy. It's so funny. I really do make this podcast to hopefully help people. But when I actually hear that people are taking leaves out of the guest books, it's like, it's so cool. That's amazing. Pat has since posted about this work that he's done in his local football club. Thank you so much. That is absolutely amazing. And the work that Bows are doing is just so inspirational for sporting clubs all over the country. That is absolutely legendary. Okay, I also want to play then a few more kind of leaves for your book. So Lavi sent me on Instagram, hi, here's an eco suggestion for episode 100. For those who menstruate, use Riley period products. They are biodegradable and you can set up your own period pack, so you only ever have to use what you need. Now, periods can be such a big waste stream, and it's thankfully very unnecessary now because we have so many positive kind of eco alternatives. I did go into this in episode 34 with Augustina, but that was more about using reusable cups and discs and pads and things like that. But we are Riley. I have been following for a very long time on Instagram. Maybe I'll get them on an episode. But basically, all of their tampons and all of their pads are toxin free. Anyone who menstruates, like, it might be, it's kind of surprising to know that, like, you're putting things that are bleached up your hoo-ha. And that's just kind of normal. When was this normalized? And there's also like sometimes just a pad of plastic sitting between your legs all day. It can get so uncomfortable. They chafe. I've been using bamboo pads and organic cotton tampons for when I just don't carry my moon cup around in my bag. So I'll keep tampons and pads in there. And Riley is an Irish company that basically works to get rid of all of their toxins. And they're also packaged in biodegradable packaging. Their tampons are naked, so that big huge waste stream in the tampon area is an applicator. So you have like this plastic applicator, and I used to buy these where you basically have just your cotton tampon in the middle and then this plastic thing to help push it in, but then you just bin that straight away. And the amount of plastic that wastes, whereas they actually have a reusable applicator, which is really cool. So you just give it a rinse and then it's good to go for the next time, which is really cool. And if you're a business as well that has a toilet for customers or for your colleagues, so if you're a school or if you're a bar, I've seen these in bars as well, if you're any kind of tech company or whatever, there is no reason why you can't have a box of free tampons and pads for people to take as they need them when they are surprised, when they go to the bathroom and they have nothing on them. And you can buy those. You can buy like a lovely little box from Riley with the pads and tampons in them. It's a really, really great company. And it's a really, really lovely thing for businesses to do. I find myself when I see this in places, just being very happy to see them. And especially if they are, a lot of the time, if I go somewhere that does have free period products, a lot of the time they are the typical plastic ones. Now, it's better than nothing, but to really just be absolutely ticking all those boxes, if you're supplying plastic free or eco-friendly period products in work, I mean, isn't that the dream? Isn't that the dream? Imagine. And you can, because Riley have a business box that you can buy for your workplace. So if you're in a workplace, put this to the board or whoever you need permission from to get these in. And then of course, you can also, if you're a layperson like me, you can just get like a regular kind of subscription if you need, because reusable products don't maybe work for everybody. So it is good to, if you're not going to be using a disc or a cup or what have you, then to use organic cotton and bamboo products that don't have nasty chemicals in. And the last thing I'll say about Riley, We Are Riley as well, is they have a campaign basically to eradicate period poverty, which is so important. They work with Kenya, they work with direct provision centers in Ireland and homeless shelters to provide free period products. So they are really walking the walk, not just talking the talk. So definitely spread the word about this amazing Irish company. And thank you, Lavi, for sending that in. I really appreciate it. And thanks for listening to the podcast. Okay, I have two recordings left. This one that I'm going to play for you now, I went to a kind of like a climate cafe. It's called Cuppa for Climate, where Friends of the Earth basically host these chats. And you sit in a circle with friends or strangers. Like, it's usually people, not everybody knows each other. And you just start having a little chat about the climate crisis and your hope for the future. There's so many different things that come up. It's a very cathartic hour or two. And I showed up to one of these events that was in Bewley's in Dublin, hosted by Friends of the Earth and also Fair Trade. They had like a joint thing going on. And here I met Caitlin, who runs the Instagram account Wasteless Wanderers, who I'd met a couple of times before. But this time I happened to have my microphone with me. So I asked her if she would give us a leaf that I could include for episode 100. And here it is. So enjoy this little suggestion and tip from Caitlin.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I started posting stuff on my social media ages ago on a page called Wasteless Wanderers, and basically was just kind of thinking about all of the actions that I'm taking and then looking for a channel to pass on some of the stuff that I was learning to anyone who would listen.
Amazing. And what are some of the biggest things that you have learned in that time that you think are good to pass on to the listeners of the podcast?
I think individual actions get a lot of bad rep because, you know, it's one person or it's two people. But I think if we are communicating what we're doing and sharing the why behind it, it can really help people to understand that whilst individual changes are part of the solution, they're not the whole solution, but they're part of the solution. And the more that we as individuals do, and we vote with our money and we vote with our actual votes, those things will all kind of feed into the system change that we do need.
Yeah, that's a very important thing for people to know. Have you got any resource suggestions, books or documentaries or films or something, anything that really helped you in your journey?
So I actually started my sustainability journey learning about the zero waste lifestyle. And now I don't necessarily buy into it as much now, because I think that if we're only focusing on packaging waste, then we're ignoring the whole life cycle of a thing. But I think it's an interesting place to start, is to look at what you're personally doing. And then instead of going, well, I have the responsibility to change that. So, for example, I am buying my peanuts in plastic. Instead of going, okay, I need to go and find a place where I can get package-free peanuts, ask yourself how you can change the system so that peanuts by default are package-free or in larger packages or whatever else. So instead of kind of going and punishing yourself for that, you go, right, this is a systematic problem. Let's go and start writing to politicians, writing to local shops and saying, hey, why do you not have this product available in a better packaging option? So no matter where you start, It's about thinking one step further from individual action and going, okay, how can I make this a system change thing? Where can I start campaigning? Where can I start spending my dollars more wisely to take it from an individual action into a system change kind of action? And so, start learning about zero waste, start learning about life cycle analysis. I know it's a big one, it's a scary one. There's a few good books that I'd recommend. So start with The Zero Waste Home is just a really interesting one. It's by Bea Johnson. She's one of the, I think that's her name. She's one of the queens, the first people who did the zero waste, no rubbish bin thing. But then take it a step further and start thinking about like, okay, yeah, it would be great if we all stopped using polluting chemicals to clean our house. Yes, we should move to baking soda and vinegar. But also, should we not be campaigning for the European Union to outlaw certain chemicals?
Yeah, for all clean chemicals to be chemical-free or good for the environment or not bad for the environment.
Exactly.
Ooh, thank you. That's deadly.
No, thank you so much to Caitlin. And as I said, you can follow Wasteless Wanderers. She's always sharing really, really useful tips for living zero-ish waste at home or reducing your waste in general. She's got a garden she's making into a lovely haven for biodiversity, growing her own food. Also, she's got a dog. So you will see footage of the dog on her Instagram account. And anyone who has pets, I'm like, I'll follow you. I don't care. So thank you so much, Caitlin. And I also love what she said about system change as opposed to just taking it on as just your individual change. And she actually reminded me of Sharon from Jiminy. So if anyone ever listened in the very early, early days, I think she was in episode 8 or 9. And Sharon runs an eco-friendly toy store called Jiminy. And I just remember being so inspired by her, who would contact businesses. So say she found a eco-friendly toy and it arrived and it was covered in bubble wrap or there was some kind of plastic packaging, she would email them and contact them and actually succeeded in getting some businesses to remove that packaging from their packaging. Like, it's, you never know. Don't underestimate the impact you have. I love that tip from Caitlin. Thank you so much for sharing that. And another audio clip I have. So this is from Keen, who runs Rupture Media. He was the person who basically set up the Radical Book Fair that happened in town. And here is what Keen had to say when I asked him for some advice that people could take from his book.
So I'm Cian Prendeville, I'm the chief editor of Rupture, which is, we produce a magazine, Rupture Magazine, we produce a podcast, Rupture Radio, and a website, rupture.ie. The main thing that I'm doing now is we helped organise today's big Dublin Radical Book Fair, which will hopefully become an annual event, to try to bring together people from different campaign groups, different left-wing publications, and just book publishers and book companies and all under one roof, to discuss, provide some books for people, literature, stuff for them to be reading, and put on some workshops and talks as well for people that want to find out a bit more.
It's a great event, and loads of the books and the authors here are all about like making the world a better place, which is nice. It's not just you know, history or things in the past. It's how we can learn from things that have happened or are happening, and how we can build better. Is Rupture Media the same kind of vibe?
Yeah, it's about like, we want to be serious about changing the world, and that means seeing this as a profession, as something that you do in a real way, studying from the theories of the past, studying the experiences of the past, the experiences that are taking place across the world, and trying to draw from that lessons for our own struggles here. Sometimes when you're in the day-to-day grind of a specific campaign or trying to organise a specific event, you can get burnt out. But then books or meetings or events like that are a useful chance to take a step back and to like learn from other people's experiences and try to get that bigger picture sense. And that's what we try to do with Rupture Magazine and podcast as well. Put our individual struggles, our day-to-day battles in the bigger picture of the struggle against
capitalism. Find out how we're all kind of connected, because it can feel very lonely if you're just like, oh, I've got a housing crisis, I'm struggling with my own eco-anxiety. But then if you add yourself into the pool of other people who are not only just struggling but finding their way out and solutions, it's very helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, but also studying from the struggles of the past and the victories of the past. Like, we've all of the things we have now, the nice things that we have now, are all because we fought and we won them. You know, weekends, holidays, 40-day weeks, 40-hour weeks. All of these things are because we organised and we fought for them. And studying those lessons of how we won those? How did we win repeal? How did we defeat the water charges? Just learning those experiences can hopefully inspire us in our campaigns, and then learning from others. So we have, at the book fair today, we have people over from Britain and Amsterdam as well, sharing some of those international experiences, which I think is useful.
Definitely.
To learn.
Definitely, and if you were to offer a leaf to listeners' book to add to their own way of eco-friendly living or sustaining their own activism or whatever it is they could do, what would you suggest?
For me, I think it's, well, two things. One is realising this is a marathon, not a sprint. I wake up every day with the goal of overthrowing capitalism and I fail. but you need to see this as actually, this is not a one day or one week or a one year thing. This is a long-term struggle, so you need to pace yourself. You need to come up with find groups of people that you can work with, so you're not just banging your head off a wall on your own, but you're working with other people. But also find projects that are medium-term goals that you can fight for and you can win and get a real sense of achievement. Because this is a long-term struggle, but we need to find immediate victories that we can win this year, in the next 5 years. What are the real achievements that we want to make? Don't lose sight of the bigger picture, but also try to find some winnable campaigns as well.
And considering we're at the Radical Book Fair, have you any book recommendations for Book of Leaves listeners?
Well, Rupture. It's not a book, it's a magazine. No, and Patrick Bresnan has an amazing new book that looks at the history of environmental movements in Ireland and tries to draw some lessons from some of the different environmental struggles of the past.
So What's that called?
It's called All We Want Is the Earth, Land, Labour and Movements Beyond Environmentalism.
And there you go. Thank you so much to Keane of Rupture Media. So again, you'll find everything linked in the show notes. And he was the person, as I said, who hosted the Radical Book Fair that John Barry was at. So it's no surprise that John is also saying to join a union. They're on very similar wavelengths of who is it that enacts change? Who is it that brought the repeal movement in or legalized gay marriage? It's people, it's grassroots movements. It's ordinary, everyday people, not just professionals or experts. You know, they're really important and valuable, but we also need our everyday manual laborers, our workers, our teachers, our students. Like, that's who makes change happen. And I guess that is why I love to interview, as Cody was saying earlier, like ordinary people, because as much as I also love to learn from experts, which of course I have on as well, I just find it really relatable and accessible and more achievable. So I'll keep interviewing those ordinary people doing extraordinary things. So thank you so much to Keane for letting me pull you into a corner for and ask you some questions for episode 100. And I only have three more things to share from people, and then I want to also announce some exciting news. So I want to share two suggestions people messaged in about. So Aoife got in touch and said that they would really be interested in hearing about the sustainable consumption of music while supporting artists as a topic. This is really interesting, and there's not a whole lot of information out there. Obviously, there was a lot of issues with Spotify last year. I think Joe Rogan, there was an anti-Semitic content, and then they wouldn't pull it and things like that. And then a lot of people divested from Spotify for a while, but then because they kind of have the monopoly on streaming music easily and affordably, they're still obviously really, really successful. I do occasionally support artists on Bandcamp, but I don't even, to confess, I don't listen to them there. I just support them there. And of course, buying their merch or buying their concert tickets as well. So if anyone knows who would be a good contact to talk about sustainable music consumption, please do send them my way, because that's a really, really interesting topic. Thank you so much, Aoife, for sending it in. My friend Adam, he's also really interested in learning about the effects war have on climate, and that is something that I'm interested in as well. I know I had Naomi Nahiakon, whose name, by the way, literally means keeper of the peace. Nahiakon, like, isn't that just beautiful? She was on just before Christmas, episode 96, and it's got to be one of my top episodes. We were basically chatting about the war in Palestine, the genocide happening there right now, and we were talking about what we can actually do. She works in the area of polycrisis, so we touched a little bit on the, I guess, the environmental effects of war, but not a whole lot. So I will hopefully have that on the podcast at some stage. And I want to also have another person on, ideally from Palestine, to talk a little bit about why ending oppression everywhere is important for climate justice. So yeah, definitely go check out episode 96 if you haven't. Thank you, Adam. And I want to play one more voice clip from a very good friend of mine. And maybe you guys have these friends where you don't get to see each other that often. It could be once a year or it could be once every few months. But when you do, it's like no time has passed. And Aoife is one of these friends of mine. We only met a few years ago when we were studying acting together for a year in Bow Street. And we just click, we get on so well, but life, for various reasons, we're always just like either busy or I was traveling and we don't get to see a whole lot of each other. And she sent me this voice note and I'm just so glad, and you'll know why I love it an extra whole lot. So here is what she sent me. You're getting a little intimate look into one of my voice notes from a friend.
Hey girl, I'm out on my walk again with the dogs in Bushy Park. And I was like hearing the bird sounds and I was just like, wow, this is so beautiful. And thinking about like us taking a walk here someday. And then I was like, oh, I really want to message Cara this actually for her podcast. I don't know if this is something that you want to include, but something that I've really taken from you in general is that any little bit counts. Like any little bit that you can do, you don't have to be perfect at taking care of the environment. But if you can do little things consistently, that all adds up and it all adds value. So I just wanted to send that to you and let you know that I'm thinking about you when I hear the bird sounds in the park and in nature. And I hope we can go walking here during the summer. And actually, I would love to go hiking with you sometime. I really want to go hiking this summer. I've never actually gone hiking before, but I really, really, really want to start hiking. So I'd love if we did that sometime. But yeah, anyway, I'm not sure if this is too late or not. I can't remember what the deadline was, but congratulations. And I'll talk to you soon. I hope you can hear the birds in the background because it's so gorgeous.
Oh my god, I love that so much. Like birdsong is my 100% my favorite thing to hear. If I hear the birds singing outside, those blackbirds, oh my god, or the starlings having the chat, or like a little robin, oh my god, I absolutely love hearing birdsong. And thank you so much, Aoife, for sending that in. And yes, we're gonna go for a hike. So when I see her next, we'll hopefully be going for a walk with her dogs in Bushy Park, which is a beautiful park in South Dublin. So yes. Yes, yes, yes to all of that. Thank you so much, Aoife, and you're so right. I'm glad that's how you feel, because that is firmly what I believe. No matter how small a thing you do, it has an impact. I did a really fun episode before on the ripple effect we have, and people sent in messages of how the work that they did in being a bit more eco-friendly impacted the people around them, which it was just really, really interesting to hear all the different ways in which people were inspired. Like, you don't have to be, you know, getting up and making speeches in front of a crowd, or you don't have to be doing protests or doing these what some people think are extreme views of activism. You're just bringing your keep cup into work, or you're doing a litter pickup. And this is a really amazing hopeful statistic as well that I recently learned. There was a study in, I don't know if it was Norway or Sweden, where they basically did a litter pickup. They would do consistent litter pickups for a year. And before the picking up off the litter, it was at a beach or at a riverbed, where basically they measured microplastics in the water. Then they went and picked up litter consistently. I think it was like once a month or something for a year, picking up macroplastics. So that's anything bigger than half a centimeter, basically. So bottles and bags, and they cleared the riverbed. And even though, as anyone who does litter pickup, you go back a month later and there's still loads of plastic bottles there, and you're like, oh, why do I do this? After a year, they went and they checked for microplastics in the water, and they had reduced over 99%. I think it was like 99.5% or something like that, the microplastics had reduced by. So it has an impact. What can feel like small, inadequate actions are not inadequate at all. And I'm so glad that you believe that, Aoife, because it's true. Oh, this is so much fun. Okay, that's everyone. I don't think I've missed anyone. If I have, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, let's do the draw for the hamper. Let's see. I have a little tub here. And the hamper goes to Stephen. Oh, great. I'm going to message Stephen. Stephen was the person who messaged on Patreon about going plant-based and having his wildlife garden. So you are the winner of this hamper, Stephen, and you will enjoy some plant-based chocolate in here. Delighted. I am very excited as well to say, Book of Leaves is going to have their very first, I mean, who's they? It's me, but still, Book of Leaves is going to have their first live podcast as part of the Stony Batter Festival. So I recently moved to Dublin 7, loving it here, and I got involved with the Stony Batter Festival, which is going to be happening the weekend of the 21st of June. So if you're not at a festival that weekend across the country, you can come to Stony Batter Festival, where I'm helping to volunteer and run a sustainability hub. So there's going to be from like 11 to 4 a swap shop for clothes, for books. There's going to be a couple of different workshops, a couple of different stalls for different things, for getting to know people in the community, initiatives that you can get involved with. And on Saturday, is it Saturday the 22nd of June, at some stage, the time is to be confirmed, there's going to be a super cozy little live podcast recording. There's only going to be about 20 people, 20 tickets. It's going to be free. So I will include the link for that. I'll be sharing that, of course, on my socials, but I'm really excited, and it's going to be a nice little cozy chat, and I'll be interviewing the guest, and I'll confirm all of that with you as soon as possible. And I'll share it, I guess, first on Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee for any of the subscribers there, just so they can get first dibs, I guess, on the tickets. But that's something that I'm so excited to announce. And also, if you remember, I had a comedian, Diane, on the podcast before, and her and a woman called Natalie run this amazing initiative called the Sustainable Life School, where basically they will go to libraries or businesses and they have talks and workshops, all these different categories of what we can do personally in our lives, from eating an eco-friendly diet to fashion, making that our fashion choices more eco-friendly. And I am going to be working a little bit with them, and I guess that just reminds me of the opportunities that this podcast has opened up for me. If anyone is thinking of starting something like this and you're looking for advice on doing a podcast, get in touch. I'm self-taught, I'm still kind of figuring out as I'm going along, but I will love to help you. There's so many tips and tricks that I have learned, from recording equipment to how to actually record on the go to trying to get the most affordable recording podcast platforms and things like that. So do get in touch if you want to have some advice on starting a podcast, or if there's anything, if there's a community group, if there's any kind of initiative that you want to start. I mean, not everything will last. There are some people that I've had on this podcast, they're amazing people, like the guys who run the vegan Carrot's Tail restaurant. Unfortunately, because of the conditions for small businesses in Dublin, they had to close up shop. Unfortunately, Vasco, who was episode one, who was from Cork Crafts, and he then went back to Portugal, and then it was sold to a new family, but then now they're packing up shop. There are some people and some groups that won't last, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't at least try and make it part of your journey. And it doesn't mean that you won't have impact. It might not be perfect. Who knows? And this podcast is definitely not perfect. It's definitely not perfect. It doesn't have thousands of listeners. It only has a couple of hundred listeners. I do it because I love it. So no matter what if it's a business idea that you have, if it's a community initiative, whatever your idea is, if it's initiative to convince everyone in Ireland to paint their roof tiles white so that we can reflect more light into the atmosphere like the Arctic does, and hopefully reduce the amount of retained heat, whatever it is, I'd love to see that done, by the way. Just get started. You won't know. It could be hard, but you won't know unless you try. And again, if you have to close up shop after a few years, like, that's okay. You still don't know the difference that you made. I still have people messaging me about the interview I did with Carrot's Tail, going, I absolutely love that chat. A lot of businesses might not last forever, but that doesn't mean that there's failure. All our learnings happen in the journey. Do you know what I mean? So if you want advice to start a podcast, that's something I can help you with. Anything else you're thinking of, just start it. I had this idea in maybe around January 2019. I was listening to a podcast with the guy who makes coconut bowls out of coconut husk waste, basically. And I was like, that's a really good idea. And there's probably people doing that in Ireland. And Blind Boy just has a podcast where it's just himself and a microphone. So surely I can do it as well. And I started doing it, and I've been doing it ever since. There's been multiple times where I thought, I can't do this anymore, because it is very time consuming. I do spend a lot of time editing, because I don't want you listening to me go, and like a million times. So I'll go through and I'll comb that, but that's my own choice. But I put a good few hours into this every single week when I'm not in hibernation, and I absolutely love it. So if you're thinking of starting something, that's my advice for you. Just start. The opportunities that this podcast has opened up to me has been so wide-reaching and unimaginable, from working with the Sustainable Life School, delivering podcast workshops, getting to know people. Every time I show up to a protest or an event, Dublin has become smaller in the best possible way, where I see people and say hello. And, you know, working with the Climate Alarm Cock, which are back, by the way, that amazing Irish news podcast. So Dara, Anna, Kira are just an amazing group of people that now I know if I see them on the street, from volunteering with Extinction Rebellion and Animal Rebellion. There are so many communities that you can tap into, or you can start your own. And I'm just so grateful for the people who've listened to this podcast. I'm so grateful for any feedback I receive, because the feedback I receive, I use to enter the Irish Podcast Awards. Thank you just so much. I really, really appreciate you. And the last thing I want to share is a little poem that I wrote. I've only ever read this twice, and both were to groups. I was down in Clock Jordan, which is an amazing eco village. It is the vision of the future we all need. And I wrote this poem a while ago because I had this image of during burnout of like falling just into darkness, and all of these people, you guys listening, people doing good things for the planet, you're all like wearing these super capes, these hero capes. And it's like all of our capes together, just we take turns. So whoever is like flying their cape at that time, whoever is just doing their community action, doing their climate action, whatever it is you're doing, you're kind of carrying the weight for people who are in burnout or need to take a step back for whatever reason. God, it's so hard not to get emotional. So I wrote this poem, and I want to share this with you because I really appreciate all the people who listen to this podcast and who engage with it on social media. And yeah, I'll let the poem do the rest of the talking. It's called Their Very Being. In a world that can drain and strain and wring me out, it is this community, near and far, that catches me every time despair pulls me, stomach lurching to the depths. I begin to float up again, held on the capes draped from the napes of the people that continue to piece the world together again. Unbeknownst to them, their tenacity, their pure existence is my elixir, my tincture. So when I land upright again and can rejoin the action, know if and when you lapse in strength, my cloak will join the rest, as soft as petals, as light as silk, holding you steady until you're ready to find your feet again. And that is my homage to all the activists. A big thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you for the people who share it. Thank you for the people who send in messages. And it only took me nearly an hour to start crying. It only took me 40 minutes to shed a tear. I've been trying so hard not to cry. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you enjoy this little eclectic mix. Please do keep sharing the podcast. Keep sharing with me other resources you find. I love finding other podcasts, other people doing amazing things. I've already recorded loads of interviews for this season. I'm so excited to share them with you. I cannot express my thanks enough to you for listening, and to all of my guests who just are doing amazing things. Heroes. They're heroes and you're heroes and we're all heroes. Okay, that's it. Okay, I'm gonna just log off now, because I'm probably gonna have a little happy cry. Thank you so much. I might treat myself to a little G&T. It's episode 100, baby. Have a nice Monday, and I'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another brilliant guest. Woohoo! We made it. Thank you so, so much.